I asked this at work the other day, and it was a virtual call, and I asked how many of them thought they were good listeners, and everybody raised their hand. Oh, I'm a good listener. I was like, wow, everybody's a good listener. This is great. I would venture to say, and I'm not going to have you show me your hand, but I would venture to say most of us think we're good listeners. I don't know if that's true. Mark Batterson said, if you aren't willing to listen to everything that God has to say, eventually you won't hear anything he has to say. For those of you who might be listeners like me, I'm going to repeat that again. If you aren't willing to listen to everything that God has to say, eventually you won't hear anything he has to say. Today, I want to encourage us to be good listeners. Notice in that statement that Batterson made, he calls our attention to the fact that if we're not willing to listen, or in other words, do what God instructs of us, then at some point in time, we're going to stop hearing the words of the Lord. We'll just stop hearing them. It's been said that hearing is through the ears, but listening is through the mind. Think about that for a second. Hearing is through the ears, listening through the mind. Both of the activities include the ears, but they're different. Parents, how many times in a given day do you ask your kids, "Did you hear me?" I wouldn't want to know the count. I remember those days. Well, they're still happening. Or how about the question, are you listening to me? That gets asked a lot. Being good listeners is not just a kid problem. I hate to tell you this, but it's not just a kid problem. Ladies, have you ever asked your husband, or you ever felt like your husband wasn't listening to you? Guys, I hate to say it. I see some heads nodding. I see some grins. During his earthly ministry, Jesus often concluded lessons by crying out, "He who has ears, let him hear." He said this concerning John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11. He said this in a parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, and a little later in an explanation of the parable of the tares in Matthew 13. In his letters to the churches of Asia, seven times Jesus concludes each letter with a similar saying. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you want to turn with me to Revelation, let's just look at this real quick. Because not only does he say that, but we get a little bit of why he says it. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." In verse 11 he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Verse 17 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." Each of these passages tells us why we need to hear. Why we need to listen. Encouragement to hear. He goes on in verse 29. He says the same thing. Verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 6, verse 13, and verse 22. He says this over and over. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Before we leave Revelation, Revelation 1 and 3 says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy." I'm going to stop there for a second. I know we know this, but we get access to the Bible. We get access to the things he says. This is how we can hear him. He says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of his prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. See, we can read these things, but if we don't keep or do those things that's in here, it's a problem. Notice again, we have instructions to hear and keep the things written, or I'm going to say it as be doers of the word. Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15:22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. You see, if we don't listen, not a blessing to the Lord. Why does any parent repeat themselves over and over? Jesus gave us this example in Revelations when he repeated himself 7 times. We repeat ourselves to emphasize importance. That's why we tell our kids something over and over. Jesus wanted us to hear his words and then prove we were listening by our actions. Have you thought about that? He repeated himself over and over to make sure we were listening. But the way we prove that we heard his word is through our actions. What Jesus says is very important, so we better pay attention and listen. Luke chapter 9, verse 35, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Mark 4, 23 through 25 says, if anyone has ears to let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. You ever thought about your blessings coming from the fact that we can hear and more given to us, how well we listen? To me, this illustrates that Jesus had a concern and a problem that existed then and today. You see, many of us simply just don't listen. Or we don't listen to understand. I don't know if you're like me, but most of us multitask. In a given day, that happens a lot. I'm not saying it's fun, but this is my day. I spend probably 5 hours of my 8-hour day or 9-hour day on conference calls. Okay? It's a lot of listening. And I must admit, I'm not always intently listening. Matter of fact, I'm multitasking. I'm reading hundreds of emails that come in. I have people that are hitting me up on Teams asking me questions. And so I'm answering those questions while I'm listening. Maybe this is your day. Maybe you're a school teacher and you're at a conference, or you're listening to your students and you're trying to teach and you've got multiple kids talking to you. I don't know what your day looks like, but I would venture to say we think we can multitask and listen intently. I got bad news for us. I've been asked a lot of questions following those calls. And it reminds me that I didn't listen. I heard what they were saying. It was an hour worth of something they were saying. But did I listen? Could I really answer the question? Could I repeat back what was said? Not always. Listening well concerned Jesus. It concerned him then, and it concerns him today. You see, we have a lot of distractions. Some like to read, check in on Facebook. Some like to, while you're listening to your kids, tell about their day. Think about what happened at your day. Maybe you're solving other problems. This was a concern for Jesus, which is why I want to ask the question, how well do we listen? Let's look at 3 different types of listeners mentioned in the Bible. Some were dull of hearing. You see, some of the Hebrew Christians were like this. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, it says, of whom have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Notice when a person has this problem, it's hard for them to listen. It's hard for others to explain things to them. The fault isn't with the subject, nor the material, nor the presenter, but the fault is with us as listeners. Isaiah wrote of such people, and Jesus applied this to many in his day. Matthew chapter 13, and thank you, Matthias, for reading this, 13 through 15 says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears were hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that they should heal them." We can all be this way when we are dull of hearing and dull of the heart. You know, when I was younger, I never really understood, I was told, but I never really understood why Jesus used parables. I thought, as a younger person, if he wanted everybody to understand, why didn't he just tell them? Just tell them straight away. Why do you have to speak in this cryptic way with a story that might be difficult? Why wasn't he just more straightforward? Well, he wanted to reach those who truly were listening. He used these stories that should have resonated with them. And they heard. We know they heard. They were in his presence. They heard what he was saying. But they didn't really want to listen to what he was saying. They heard only. When we are dull of hearing, it prevents us from understanding God's truth. It prevents us from turning from sin and being saved by God. That's a pretty serious thing. King Saul, if you want to turn with me in 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to read here. King Saul was dull of hearing. 1 Samuel chapter 15, the first three verses, says, "Samuel also said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish what Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. But kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.'" Do you doubt for one second that this was really difficult for him to hear? "I want you to go attack them and utterly destroy them." You say, "Oh, well, I'm a warrior. I can do that." Okay. "I want you to kill both men and women." Ooh, tricky. "I want you to kill nursing children." Wow. Now it's getting pretty difficult. "I heard what you said. Are you sure? Kill nursing women, children, ox, sheep, camel, donkey. Utterly destroy them." Verse 7. "And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, they were unwilling to destroy, to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed." You see, he heard the command. But he's like, that's kind of difficult. These are good things. And I can so put myself there. Why would I get rid of these things? They're good. I can use them. But he didn't listen. The ESV says, "Listen to the words of the Lord." I find this story interesting because I can find myself a lot in Saul. I can see myself hearing kind of what I want to hear. Just twisting it a little bit and justifying, well, I don't need to do all of those things. I mean, that's a really hard thing you're asking me to do. Do we have hard things that he's asking of us today? We do. You love your enemies? I could go on. There's some difficult things he asks us to do. I hear those things. Am I listening? Am I taking action on those things? Saul didn't. None of us want to be this type of listener with dull ears. Let's look at those that have itching ears. Paul describes these in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. These are people who listen only to what's pleasing to them. Have you had some really good conversations with some really good people? And they go to a church and they attend this church because they like listening to whoever their preacher, teacher, pastor is? Maybe they don't like sound doctrine, which often requires the kind of preaching that was mentioned in the verse prior to verses 3 through 4. If we look at that verse 2 in 2 Timothy, it says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." You see, these are people that have itching ears. They find what they want to listen to. They find teachers that they like, that maybe say things that agree with them, that do these things that are mentioned here. They'll turn away from the truth to what? Fables. We can't be like these people. In Ezekiel, if you want to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 32 says, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.' So they come to you as people. Do they set before you as my people? And they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them." They loved to hear them, to hear him, but for all the wrong reasons. They just wanted to hear those things that were pleasing to them. You see, many are afflicted with this type of hearing problem today. Itching ears. All right, let's look at the third type of listeners or hearers. Those who hear a noble and good heart. Jesus speaks of these in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." You see, they heard, but more importantly, they listened, and then they bore fruit. The Bereans were this kind of listener. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness." This is important for us. Are we like the Bereans? Do we receive the word, and as we receive it, we read it, we study it, we think on it, and then we're ready? And it says, "They were with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." You see, they were good listeners of the word. They were fair-minded. They were listening to Paul. It showed because of how they received it or listened with all readiness. Notice they listened to the words and it caused actions. This is the kind of listener we should be. Let's look at some of the reasons why it's so important to be this kind of listener, the listener that we just talked about, a good listener. It's essential to being blessed. For those willing to listen properly, these are wonderful things to learn. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 16 and 17, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and do not see, and to hear what you hear and do not hear." He talks about those righteous prophets that desired, but they didn't get to see those things, many of which were great. David, Daniel, there are others. We can go right down the list of those who didn't have the opportunity. Things pertaining to wonderful blessings that are now available in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." We know all blessings and spiritual gifts come from the Father and Jesus, and we're going to miss out on these blessings if we don't listen carefully. How about the importance of listening, which is essential to saving faith? Such faith comes through proclaiming the gospel through listening first. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 17 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We all know the very end of that. Does your listening hinder the development of your faith? Who are you listening to? Your parents? Preachers and teachers amongst you? Kids, are you listening? Parents, are you listening? Clayton, are you listening? Good listening is essential to bearing fruit. That's because bearing fruit comes from understanding the grace of God. We understand that because we read, we hear it, and then we listen. Colossians 1:6 says, "Which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of good of God in truth." Those blessings came about since the day you heard. Can you think back to when you heard the good word? For a lot of us in the church, it was when we were really, really little. Heard it probably in our home, hopefully in our home. Heard it when we came to church. For some of you, maybe it was later in life. You remember back when you heard for the first time that good word? Notice the gospel was bearing fruit for the Colossians. But that was since the day you heard and knew you understood the grace of God and truth. Only by listening well can we understand God's grace and be motivated to bear fruit for His glory. That's the only way it's going to happen. We've got to listen. For some of you who are here, it's probably been, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago, not long ago, you may have remembered, whether you heard it from me or you heard it in the news, about a local family who lost their two-year-old son. The mother works with me of this boy, and she's just recently returned to work. She's obviously had a very, very difficult time. And I found it difficult to talk to her about this, but I wanted to make sure she knew I cared, I loved her, was praying for her. And as she tells the story, she said, "Oh, my son, he loved playing in the front yard. They had a little front yard. He just loved it. He loved playing hide and seek. He did this a lot." And she said, "We would tell him, now, don't hide around the car." So we told him this a lot. Well, her husband was backing out of the driveway that day on his way to work, and he backed over the two-year-old. I can't imagine it. She said, you know, Clayton, she said, we warned him over and over. You can play in the front yard. Just don't hide around the car. Her young son had heard his parents tell him this numerous times. Don't play around the car. Don't hide around the car. Unfortunately, he heard them, but he didn't listen. You know, as tragic as that story is, and it's tragic, we know that that young child, his soul is with God. Unfortunately, for those of us who know the difference between right and wrong, so I'm talking to most of us in the audience today, not listening to the words of Jesus will result in something far more serious than death on this earth. Far more serious. This morning, if you find that you have been hearing God, you've been here a lot, you've read the word, someone's even told you about it, you've heard the word, but you haven't responded, you haven't listened to him, it's time to start. In John chapter 8, verse 43, it says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Let's not be like those who Jesus was teaching in the temple that heard him. Maybe they heard him a lot, but they weren't listening. There will come a time that if we aren't listening to everything he has to say, then we won't hear anything that he's saying. I'll leave that message with you this morning. If you have heard him, you know the difference between right and wrong. There is no better time to respond by showing him that you're listening to his words than to come forward while we stand and sing.